believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's really a strange scripture if you think about it. The Bible is saying because people do not want to hear truth, they're going to believe a lie. They're going to believe things that are not true. And the end times is going to be characterized, or the start of it, by deception. By deception. You ever been tricked? You ever been fooled? You know how you feel when you find out someone has taken advantage of you and you've been tricked? You know, it's happened to me several times, so now I know, like tonight, actually this evening, as I was working on this, I got a call from, I don't know where it is, California somewhere. And let me see if I can find out where it was. I got a call on my phone from California, and San Diego, California. And the guy started off, he says, this is Microsoft calling. Your computer has notified us that there's a virus on it. So before he could get much further, I said, listen, I know this is a scam. I would have had fun if I had had time. I'd have just played along with him. But I didn't have time to argue with him. So I just said, listen, I don't have time for this. This is a scam, and I know what you're up to, so goodbye. But what they try and do is get you to go to a website to allow them to fix your computer. But actually what they're doing is they're installing a program so they can read everything that's on your computer, take away your passwords and things like that. And those kind, in the latter days, there's going to be more things like that, scams and deceit. And the Bible said that there's going to be one called the strong delusion. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, tonight's going to be a little bit tricky for me to teach this, but I'll try. You know, we all say we love the truth, right? Okay, nobody loves the truth? You love the truth? But do you like being told the truth? Someone's on it. Sometimes the truth hurts. When we're that's why sometimes we don't like looking in the mirror. Isn't that true? We don't like looking in the mirror. Some people don't have mirrors in their house because they don't want to see themselves, right? I mean, I had some pictures of me I didn't like looking at. You know why? Because they told me the truth. They told me the truth. Let's see what the scripture says. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, he shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, he shall not eat of it, neither shall he touch it, lest he die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You see, we find that deception was right from the beginning. That is in completely opposite to what God told them, right? The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. And so deception works right from the beginning of the Bible. We see that Satan, the adversary, came and said something to Eve. Now, deception works in a certain way. It's very hard for you to get deceived of something that you don't, are not interested in or don't like. It's when it's something that you want to be that way. You know? Oh, yes, he looks fine. He's a great guy. Because you want to believe that, right? Now, someone could say, no, don't go near that guy. Don't go near that girl. They've got a bad reputation. Just, you better stay away. They're trouble. Now, you don't want to believe that. But if someone said, oh man, they're just the greatest, you quickly believe that. You see, so deception works with us, with our nature, to accept things that are not true because we want to, because we believe certain things to be true that are not true. Revelation 12:9 speaks about Satan, and the origin of deception says, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. The real power of Satan is not in miracles or supernatural acts, but it's in deception. It's in tricking you. It's in deceiving you. That's the real power. Now, most of the time we get deceived, it's in usually in a relationship, right? We trust somebody. Isn't that true? You never trusted somebody and they didn't do you wrong? We trusted somebody and they did us wrong. We got deceived, right? And that's how the nature of this deception works. It's when we trust something or trust somebody. Well, Satan's greatest power is to work through other people to break our faith. Because once trust has been broken, it really makes you double think, next time I'm not going to help somebody. I mean, that's happened to me when people have needed help. I said, man, that person promised this and promised that, and they never did it, so I'm not going to help. Isn't that how you feel? So Satan comes in. His greatest power is deception and to lie and to make you your faith be broken, because that's the part about deception, is because in the end, you're always going to find out the truth. You know that. The lie doesn't continue forever. At some point, you find out the truth, and that's when you get upset. That's when your faith gets destroyed, when you find out, okay, I trusted that person. That's when hurt starts to come. That's when bitterness starts to come, because you invested in someone, and they deceived you. But before we get into deception, I want to get into something that's the opposite of a lie. What's that? The truth. And my question to you is this: what is truth? Anyone? What is truth? Okay. How would you define truth? How would you define truth? If someone says to you, what is truth? Can you define truth? Because before we learn about deception, we have to know something about truth. What is truth? Okay, anybody else? Okay, so you're saying you're defining truth by the opposite of deceit. Okay, all right, anybody else? Actually, you'll find it's quite difficult to define truth without using the word true. Right? Anyone else? Sister Margaret? Truth is a fact, okay. But then how can people argue about facts? What does a fact mean? Okay, when we say a fact, we usually mean something that is true, accurate. So if I said this is red, is it red? Now, but suppose one of you was colorblind. Okay, it wouldn't be red to that person. So they're seeing this as green. I say it's red, they say it's green. Who's right? Okay, so now you're saying truth can be subjective. It can be what I say it is. Is that right? Do you see what I mean, how difficult it is? I mean, we've just had an election where people have had their own facts. Right? And some are saying that's green and some are saying it's red. And suppose all of you were colorblind and I was the only one who wasn't colorblind. And you all said it was green. So truth is it's something we know, but it's hard to explain, isn't it? If you try and define truth, it's very hard to, it's something we obviously can know, right? But it's hard to explain. Well, actually, I'm gonna show you what the philosophers say about truth. There are three kind of main views or definitions about truth. There's one called the coherence theory, and you're in high school now. And it describes truth in terms of interconnected belief. So a belief is true if it is consistent with other beliefs that we have. That's one definition of truth, right? Because you believe this is green, but that's because you've got color problems, right? And for you, that's true. And you believe it to be. So there's one kind of definition of truth is that your beliefs all are coherent together. And I'm not really going to talk about that truth tonight. Then there's another definition of truth, which is postmodernism. And again, it's an individual perspective and a community agreement. That means, say all of you were colorblind, and you all agreed that was green, then I would be the odd one out. You would all say it's green. So as a community, you agree this is green. And so someone could say that's the truth. Who's to say that my eyes aren't bad? So there's a what they call postmodernism, where it's community agreement on what is truth and what is right. But of course, there's another third one that I'm going to talk about, and that is what they call the correspondence theory of truth, and describes truth in terms of relationship or concepts that are matching the real world. And that's the one that I believe in. I don't believe in the other two. Because I believe that when a tree falls in the woods and no one is there to hear it, personally, I still believe it makes a sound. And that's because I believe that there is something other than just us that's out there, and that is God. And he defines absolute truth. But I just gave you these three as what the philosophers talk about when they talk about truth. But the one I'm going to talk about is what they call the correspondence theory. That means that what we see, what we take in through our truth gatherers, what's our truth gathering? In fact, it's all our senses, right? If you were blind, you could still gather some truth, couldn't you? Through what? Touch. Touch. You could say, this is soft, this is hard, this is rough. You could gather some truth. So the correspondence theory of truth says that what I am, the statement I'm saying, and in their way of putting it, they call it a proposition, corresponds to reality. If that does, then that statement is true. For instance, the statement, I was born in 1956, can be either true or false, right? It's either true or false. Either I was born in 1956 or I wasn't. But if it corresponds with reality, then it's a true statement. So that is the one that I personally adhere to. And in fact, it's the one that the majority of philosophers and scientists adhere to. So I'm going to give you a dictionary definition. And the one that I'm going to read is number 3A, the property of being in accord with fact or reality. Right? So we say this is red, and since I'm saying you're not colorblind, you all agree with me that is red. It accords with reality, okay? If I said I was 10 feet tall, you would all look at me through your truth gatherers and say that doesn't accord with reality. So therefore, that's not true. So the correspondence theory holds that there is a world external to our, that in other words, that there is truth separate from me. It's not true because I believe it, but there is a truth that is separate from me and that is accessible to the human mind. So therefore, that there are facts that I don't determine, right? This is red whether I believe it or not, right? If I went blind, this would still be red. I might not be able to see it anymore, but it would still be red. So truth is what corresponds to reality. That is, that it can be determined separate from whether I believe it or you believe it or not, right? So that is the definition of truth that we find most in the Bible and in reality, in real life. Because if truth is only going to be what I believe, then we're going to have different truths, right? At times we're going to have different truths, and that doesn't really make much sense. So now, What's the difference between a belief and a fact? What's the difference between a belief and a fact? Right. I can believe something, and it may or may not correspond to truth. But most of the time, people who believe things always believe that what they believe is the truth. That's the difference. People's beliefs always believe, I know, it's a little bit heavy tonight. Right? We hold these truths to be self-evident. So the preamble to the Constitution starts out by saying or declaring something to be true. And of course, it depends whether people agree with it, because obviously some people didn't. Some people didn't agree with that, not really. So beliefs are things people have, and only people have. Beliefs are not something that exists. A fact can exist, that is red. But a belief cannot exist outside of my mind. A fact can exist outside of my mind, but a belief needs a mind to host it. That's the difference between a fact and a belief. A fact can exist outside the mind. It is. It doesn't need me to be there for that to be red. But if I want to believe that that's green, that can only exist inside my mind. You get it? So beliefs can be about false things, false statements. But the funny thing is, people who have beliefs always believe that everything they believe is true. Who would believe something that they believe to be false? Would that make sense? Only a crazy person. But people get facts mixed up with beliefs, and they think that their beliefs are facts. But the test of it is, and I just gave you the test, the difference between a belief and a fact is a fact can exist outside of your mind. If it's only in your mind, then it's probably a belief. All right, you get it? Now, I said all of that to get into what the Bible says about truth, which is different. Biblical truth. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." What is God's definition of truth? It says it there. His word. Whatever God says, he defines as being truth. God's word is truth. That means, again, that we have something that is outside of whether we believe or not. Do you get what I'm saying? Because God's word is there whether we believe it or not. Amen? So, again, it's separate from whether I believe it or not. Now, I can believe it or not, but that doesn't change God's word. The Bible declares that God's word is truth. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth." What do you think he meant when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? Right? The words that he speaks, anything else? What do you think he meant when he says, "I am the way, the truth"? That's a strange thing for someone to say, "I am the truth." I know there's a rapper out there called Truth. There is I think he's a Christian rapper, and he is, yeah. But what do you think it means when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth"? He didn't say a truth. He said the truth. There is no other truth. So the Bible declares that Jesus is the only way to the Father. You cannot get there through Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, Confucianism, I said that already, but there is only one, according to the Bible, there is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the truth. Let's look at another scripture. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, it calls it the Spirit of truth. John 14:17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but he know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." The Spirit of truth. Why do you think the Holy Spirit is called that? Here's a scripture for you. And when this comforter has come, he will do what? Lead you and guide you into all truth. What does that mean? So, if we were always listening to the Spirit, that would mean that we shouldn't be making too many mistakes. Really, because the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Wouldn't it be great if you had someone you could ask and say, should I do this or should I do that? And was going to be 100% right all the time. Should I go here or should I do this? Should I date this guy or not date this guy? Or should I rent this apartment or not? Imagine. Now, the truth is, we have been given that. But that tells you we don't focus upon it. We just make our own decisions most of the time. Oh, we say we pray, but Lord, okay, all right, I think I want that. Because we go by what we feel and what we want. It's very hard to actually confront truth because the truth may be against what your human will wants to do. And we resist. We resist. Let's look at another scripture about truth. We're going to get into deception, but I wanted to start on truth. They say, I don't know if it's true, but I've heard this said, that when they're training agents to detect counterfeit bills, they start them out with giving them good bills, and they study the truth. So they look at all the truth, you know, the $20 bill, and they look at all the watermarks and all the metal that goes in there, and they study the truth before they get the deception. So now they know what is true. So when they see a fake bill, it's very easy for them to spot it. So before we go into deception, I want you to get a good concept of what the Bible says about truth. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So you know what that tells me? That we're not listening as much as we should. We're not led as much as we should, because the Bible said that we will be given power. Those that are led of the Spirit, to them will he give power to become a son of God. So biblical truth is the Word of God. And the Spirit of God is what leads us into truth and what empowers us into truth. Not only that, understanding and knowing truth shall make you free. Make us free from what? Deception. Who's bought a car here before? Who's bought a car here before? Who's been to the dealership and bought a car before? All right. You ever worry you were going to get sold a lemon? Especially you women. I mean, do you know what to check? How do you know it's any good? It looks good on the outside. Sounds like you had an experience. I mean, it looks so good. They polish it up. They put that new smell in it. You know, make it smell like it's brand new. Of course, it's got 60,000 miles on it, but they have this spray you can spray in their new car smell. How do you know it's a lemon? What is truth? Oh, I'm telling you, my daughter's had, I don't know how many cars. Lemons. She could make a pot of lemon juice, the number of bad cars she's had. The last one, just a couple weeks ago, they went in, they said, oh, it'll be $4,000. $4,000. Huh? Yeah, $4,000. I said, okay, well, we're not going to fix that. Listen to this. Now, here's how you can know truth. I'm talking about the genuine before we get to the counterfeit. Because there is counterfeit. Any of you ever came across counterfeit money? You have? Well, I guess I've been fooled because I haven't. Or maybe I haven't looked good enough. This is how Jesus tells you can have the truth. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. Remember now, the word is what? Truth. If you continue in my truth, then are ye my disciples. And what's more, you will know the truth. As you study the Bible and as you see God's amazing plan, the truth of it just really comes home to you as you start to realize the intricate, the absolute truth of God's plan starts to come home. And the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free of what? What does truth make you free of? Deception? Sin? Death? Guilt? If you know the truth of what God has done for you, the truth of how he has taken your sins, and that before God you are looked on as perfect and righteous and whole, that's going to make you happy. That's going to make you free. You're not going to be under guilt. Sister Lavinia? Amen. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free. I don't know if we are totally yet free. Some of us are not free of worry, right? Because if we know the truth, which is the word of God, which is the most powerful thing, the Bible says that the heavens are held together by the word of God. If we truly know the word, we would be free of worry. We wouldn't be worrying about, okay, this job, I don't know if I'm going to keep it. I'm meeting with my boss Thursday morning. I think it's for a wage increase. That's what I'm going to believe, okay? I'm going to believe that. It's the last day of this year I'm going to see him. So I think I don't know about a bonus. I think he's going to, you know, and I don't care. If I get nothing, I'm still praising God. I'm thanking God. See, if you know the truth shall make you free of a lot of things. You can rest. Like Sister Joanne. Say that again, some people.
So do you think that sometimes it's easier to read the good things about the Word of God?
Right, because we don't like truth. We say we like truth, but when truth, if we were confronted with truth, see, because of our imperfections, you know, I'm trying to think of a way of describing it that's not, you know, my wife may say to me, don't breathe. What she means is go brush your teeth. You've been eating garlic, didn't you? You had some garlic chicken or something. She can smell that 2 days after I've done it. I can't hide that. You've been eating, you went to the Chinese food place, right? Now, she's telling me truth. I might not like to hear it, but it's better her tell me than you guys start going like this. You ever been with people and they start going like this? You know, they start going, you know, touching their nose and... I always wonder I went too far there. I don't want to go to that one yet. truth. We don't like truth. This is what God says about Satan. He told the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He never stayed in the word because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. I don't know if you remember Sunday in my PowerPoint I had, fear is a liar. See, truth, if we were really in truth, we would be free of fear because the Bible says that perfect love casteth out fear. But we are a lot of times very fearful for Christians, aren't we? Let's admit it. We're fearful of sickness. We're fearful of our children, for things going to happen. And we're always in fear. And that's why we don't get all of our prayers answered, because the opposite of faith is fear. But if we were truly understanding the truth is that I will never leave you nor forsake. Is that the word of God? His word is true. The devil is a liar. That's what it says. Abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. So now we've talked about truth. Now I want to go to falsity. And I pressed the slide a little bit earlier. I thought this was. But there are many, many false prophets out there. And remember now, if you can't beat them, what do you do? Join them. So now people have a hard time telling truth because there's so many thousands of different people saying, my way is true. So once Christianity became the official religion, that's when it started to go down. When it was being persecuted, nobody wanted to be a Christian unless you actually believed in truth. If you were being persecuted, then you would have had to mean this. But once the Roman Empire has made Christianity the state religion, it was the thing to be a Christian. So now, today, we have thousands of denominations, and we have thousands of people going around calling themselves prophets and all kinds of things and saying, I have truth. And so people are being what? Deceived. So I'm not going to call any names. Calling no names there, but you can probably. Mark 13:5. He's taking his jacket and just going, whoosh. Who is he? Oh, you know who he is. He's with the gray hair, yes. And thousands of people go to his things. Now, he's worth like $50 million. $50 million. And the gentleman below him, of course, he said, he announced about a year ago, he has a plane already. He has like a jet plane. And he decided that he wanted a more modern one. So he said that God wanted him to get a new one, $65 million. And I believe the church okayed it. Mark 13:5. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, how do these people deceive many? What is it? What is their main tool that they use to deceive people? Well, yes, lies, of course, but what is it? What is it about their message that deceives people? Prosperity. Prosperity. God wants you to be rich. In fact, the gentleman with the coat there said something so completely, absolutely untrue. He said all the prophets were wealthy. Exactly. He then said, how did Noah build the ark? He must have gotten money. See? For there shall arise false Christ. But the way they use, let me show you how they use deceit. What do they use? Prosperity. Because they appeal to the lusts of the flesh. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to never be in lack. Now, all of that may be true, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be selling out your soul. Because it's easy to be rich if you have no scruples. Right? Isn't that what the devil said to Jesus? If you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. I'll give you all of this. And they also use miracles. The Bible says that there will be real miracles. There will be real miracles done in the end time, and it will be a strong delusion. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and the Bible says that they shall show great signs and wonders. They're going to be allowed miracles to the point that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So miracles alone is not a sign that God has blessed it, that this thing is truth. Because even in the Old Testament, it's revealed that Pharaoh's magicians were able to do tricks too. When Moses threw down his rod, they threw down their rod, and their rod became a snake too. Behold, I have told you before, behold, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in a secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth into the west, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. So these people who go around making money off the gospel are deceiving people. They're false prophets. And you can tell they're false prophets because their message is not a salvation message. It's not about how shall you be saved. It's not an Acts 2:38. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, you got to donate in the plate and God's going to make you rich. No, that's not what Peter said. He said, repent. That's how you can tell a false message. What are they preaching? What is their message? Is it salvation for the soul or is it riches for themselves? You see, remember now, the word of God is truth. Now look what the Bible says is going to be happening in the last days. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. So now if the word of the Lord is the truth, and there's a famine for the word of the Lord, what does that mean? There is a famine for truth. In other words, deception is going to be widespread. Do you get what I'm saying? Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. So, since the word of God is truth, and there's going to be a famine for the word of God, then there's going to be widespread deception. Widespread, not just in churches, but all around. All around. Psychologists have done many tests, and we human beings are very susceptible to peer pressure. They had one I saw, and I wish I had brought it, where they had a race around a track. And they had 10 runners on the track, and all of them except one was in on the setup. So the gun went off, and they all started running around the track. And when they came to the 100-yard mark, all the other 9 switched direction and started running the other way. So guess what the one who wasn't in on it did? He paused, turned around, started running the wrong way. He got deceived because that's where everybody else was going. Right? And that's what we do. We succumb to deception if everybody else is doing it. It takes quite a strong personality to go against the direction everybody else is going when it's not true. So guess what happens? In this setup, when this guy caught up to them, all 9 suddenly turned and went back in the direction they were going before. And he started doing that too. Now, here's another one that they did. They got straws. And the thing was to pick the longest straw. And they had 30 people all pick straws that were shorter than the longest straw. And they had the person who was being tested last. And he saw all these people pick these straws that were, they were supposed to pick the longest straw. And none of them picked the longest straw. And so guess what he did? Picked the shorter straw too. See, truth can get twisted around where you can believe a lie because everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, prophets, preachers, having itching ears, meaning just wanting to say what pleases people, what makes people happy. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Can you take that off? Thank you. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. You know, a lot of times when people are being fed a lie, they know it's a lie. There's something about it that's not satisfying. There's something about it that's not satisfying, but they can't quite put their finger on it. And this is going to be the devil's strongest weapon, is deception. Telling people they're okay, pushing them in the direction where their flesh wants to go. But sometimes you have to just tell the truth, even if it hurts, because that's the only way you're going to know. That's what the Bible speaks about, that the Word of God is like a mirror, a glass. And we need to hold it up to ourselves, because the Word of God is truth. It's the mirror that we need to hold up to ourselves and look in it, even if we don't like it. So when I look in the mirror, I see gray hairs. Sometimes I see pimples. Sometimes I see things I don't like. I see old age. I look at a picture of 30 years ago and I say, I'm not that anymore. But it's the truth. So how does deception work? Not holding up. I'll tell you how deception works. You have to cooperate. We think about Germany, right? And how it is that this crazy guy, Hitler, was able to get all these millions of people who were just normal people to become so terrible where they would kill millions of people. How could that possibly happen? You have to cooperate with the lie. You have to go along with it. You do. You have to start saying, well, it's not that bad. They're only burning the books right now. Those Jews, they're a bit greedy anyway. But it's harmless. And that's how it started. First they came and just, smashed their windows and, raided the houses and so on. And then it went a little bit further. And people cooperated and started to cooperate with a lie. Sister? Absolutely. 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 Most people don't go from zero to absolute murderer overnight. There's a progression. It's a little bit of untruth, a little bit the first deception, the second deception. Oh, well, then I have to cover that up. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So, can we look in the mirror of God's word? Can we take correction? I'd like to think I can take correction. My pastor sat me down before, well, not exactly sat me down, but he came up behind me and said I was all wrong. And I didn't quit church and stomp off, and I'm never going back to that church. I'm going to quit paying my tithes. I didn't. I did everything as I was before. In fact, I was horrified that I had ever done anything to upset him. If I'd known he had a different opinion, I wouldn't have said what I said. But he came right after I came up, and he said, no, we don't believe in that. Publicly. Open rebuke. I didn't get mad. And he's been here and preached, and we're still great friends. And years later, he came up to me and he said, I really shouldn't have done that. That was wrong of me. But it didn't bother me in the least bit, because I want to make sure that I have the mirror of God's word, that I'm not deceived. It's easy to deceive yourself. The greatest deception is when you think you're something you're not. Right? Man, I'm hot stuff. But everyone's laughing at you. Self-deception is the worst. So deception works by we have to cooperate with it. We have to get in league with it. That's how it happened in Germany. People started to cooperate with the lies that were being said. And they heard what they wanted to hear. Okay, well, I'll pick up this little bit of truth. Yeah, the rest of it isn't true, but I'll just pick this up. This is what's going to happen during the tribulation. Let me tell you. Let me paint you a picture of what's going to happen. Okay, we're going to be making sure that we don't have subversives and ISIS and criminals running around that we don't know who they are. So we need to make sure we know who is in this country and who is not. So we're going to be issuing a national security number. So January 1st, go down to your driver's license. It's very easy, just a simple, and get your stamp. It may happen. They tried to do it before in 2008, but there was such a pushback. They were going to issue a national identity card. They were going to do it, but there was such a revolt, and the states rebelled, and they had to drop it. But they tried to do it. It may happen. We don't know who's in this country. We don't know the 11 million illegal immigrants. We need to get everyone numbered. What are we going to do? Are we going to cooperate? Are we going to cooperate? You know, we are blessed in America because we think we're insulated from what's going to happen. But the Bible says that the tribulation that shall come to try the whole world. It didn't say the whole world except America. Let me show you how deception works. As I said, you have to cooperate with it. It's something you really want anyway. That's why it works. See, Eve looked at the tree, and it was what? Pleasant to the eyes and good for food. If it had been an ugly tree that had thorns and was ugly, she'd have said, nah, I'm not going to eat that. She wanted it. It's the where you have to really start to think is when you want something that the devil can use. That's why Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath nothing in me. There isn't anything in me that I want. When we can get to the place where there's nothing in this world that we want to hold on to and say mine. I think that's the third word that little toddlers learn after mama and dada is mine. Right? Mine. Not getting this, it's mine. That's the Adamic nature. And that third word is what's going to get us the rest of our life. Because the prosperity preacher can come along and say, it can be yours. And we smile. God wants you to be the head, not the tail. So you sow the seed of $12, the number of blessing. And God's going to give you tenfold. And you want the blessing. Amen. 2 Chronicles 18:19. Let me set the scene. Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, had come up to the northern kingdom to Ahab, I believe, who was king of Israel, the 10 kings. Israel and Judah had split off with Benjamin. And they, because they were all Hebrews, Israelites really, Ahab had asked Jehoshaphat to come and fight with him against his enemies. But Ahab was a wicked king, and God had determined to punish him. And so we see how this deception works. God is saying, well, I'm gonna let Ahab, because he wants to do this. And that's why we have to be careful when we have strong desires, because Satan can manipulate them. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. You can't tempt me of something I don't like. But if it's something I want, then it's dangerous. Let me ask you this. Don't answer me. Don't answer me this question. Do you know things that you want that you shouldn't? Think about that. Are there things that you know you have a weakness for that you shouldn't? So those are the things you have to be careful of. Those are the things you... And they can be used powerfully. It's because Ahab wanted to do this, it was easy to entice him. A spirit came forward and said to the Lord, I will entice him. By what means? I will go and be a deceiving spirit. I'm going to tell him what he wants to hear. I'm going to tell him what he wants to hear. See, that's what the devil will do, is tell you what you really want to hear. And that's why you have to almost do the opposite of what your flesh is telling you. I will go and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. You will succeed in enticing him. All right. That's how it works. We have to cooperate. Deception works when it is a half-truth, when it's almost the truth, so it feels right. It feels good. You know, if it was the opposite, you wouldn't be tempted. Probably 99.9% of us wouldn't go buy a gun and kill somebody, right? But if someone made us mad, we'd be thinking about it all night. Man, that person, I get on my last nerve. We get all mad. Jesus said that's as good as killing them, isn't it? I don't hear any amens on that. Isn't that what he said? If you hate your brother, if you let the sun go down on your wrath like that, because a lot of us would be murderers if we could get away with it. Haven't there been people you just really wished they could just disappear, get on your last nerve? If I had the power, I'd just go like this. Psh. And they'd be vapor. They'd just be ashes. They'd be gone out of my life. Deception works when it is a half-truth. The devil is not going to come to you with something that's an outright lie, because that's too obvious. But when it's almost the truth, he'll come to you. And again, it's deception works when it's something our flesh wants to believe. Wants to believe. That's how it works. Okay, this is only part one. I'm just laying the groundwork for what I'm really going to teach. So what's to come? I'm going to get into the biblical deception. And I'm going to be starting in the book of Daniel. And I'm going to start at the end of the book of Daniel, chapter 8. Daniel had a vision. And the vision was not for his time. It was for the end time. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Daniel was told, and I'm going to get into the vision a little bit today, that this revelation was for the distant future. The vision was so troubling to Daniel that after he had it, he said, I fainted and was sick certain days. It took him a while to recover. This vision was so disturbing and so powerful. And so we're just going to start the beginning of it, and I'll do part two, and I'll be getting into more of the deception. And it's called, in here we have a character called the King of Fierce Countenance. Daniel chapter 8, 23. He is given this vision of all these characters, and at the end, he's told about this person, Daniel 8:23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors, or the rebellion, really that word is rebellion, are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance shall understand, and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Now, what it means by dark sentences, it means hidden, secret, things, occult. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. And through his policy also shall cause craft, and that's an old English word meaning deceit, to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. That doesn't make sense. How can peace destroy many? But it's through deceit. Many people forget or don't understand that people like Hitler came to power. Anyone know how Hitler came to power? Anyone know how Hitler came to power? Huh? He came to power by voted. He was voted into power. It wasn't a coup d'etat. He was voted into power. And when he came into power, he slowly took over the powers from the parliament. What he did was he staged a crisis. He staged a fake crisis. The parliament building was bombed. And so then he said, well, you know what? I need more power to get these terrorists. And so they voted him all the power. And that's how it happens. We think America is insulated from that, but all it would need would be some big crisis like a 9/11. In World War II, what happened? When Japan attacked at Pearl Harbor, what happened in America? What was the big anti-constitutional thing that happened to thousands and thousands of people? Well, it wasn't concentration camps, but thousands of Japanese, third generation Japanese, whose grandparents had been born here and who had done nothing, were locked up and their properties were seized. That's against the Constitution, but it was done anyway. Why? Because there was a crisis. People became fearful and they were told, well, Japan is attacking. Maybe these people will attack us too. That's all it will take, will be one big crisis for something to happen. And it says, through his policy also he shall cause deceit to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. I'm almost finished because this is just an introduction. This is part one into what I'm talking about, deception. But we're living in a time and an age where things are going to start happening, I believe. You can stand. Matthew 24:22. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if men shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs. See, the spirit of Antichrist is already here. John tells us that. And false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But we have been warned. We have been warned. It's time for us to get ready to face what I believe is coming upon the whole world. Now, we're not going through the tribulation if you're in the church, but that doesn't mean you're not going to have some tribulation. Jesus said, if any man is going to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his own cross and follow me. In that same chapter, in verse 32, Jesus gives a little clue. He says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is coming. You know, right now you go out there, all the trees are barren, their leaves are gone. But sometime in the spring, February and March, you'll start to see little tiny buds. And you'll say, wow, this winter is almost over. Just another month, it'll be over. So likewise, when he shall see all these things, know that it is even near, even at the doors. So this whole thing is going to start with deception. People are going to be deceived. The first thing they're going to be deceived by, the Bible says, when they say peace and safety, that's the first deception. When they say everything's fine, everything's good, then cometh what? Sudden destruction. I'm one of those news junkies. I read everything and everything. I probably spend way too much time reading all kinds of stuff because I'm looking for the signs. I don't want to be the foolish virgin or the one that's sleeping. I'm looking because I want to be ready when that time comes. And I just want to encourage you that you don't have to be deceived because you have been warned. All you have to do is go get the genuine stuff, right? Which is the word of God. Thy word is truth. What we have to do is find ourselves in the word all the time. Read your Bible. Study the Bible. Listen to scripture. Listen to good teaching. If you're filled of the word, there won't be anything else. When the devil comes, you can say, he has nothing in me. And we need to let the word lead us. We need to let the word be truth to us. The Bible says, don't just be hearers of the word, but what? Doers also. Amen. I am thankful for God's mercy and his grace. Because this is what my job is supposed to be, is the watchman. I'm supposed to be up here telling you and encouraging you and letting you know things are coming. Things are coming. As the Bible says that not one word nor one tittle, that means that little Jewish dot, is going to pass away till all things be fulfilled. And we have seen the fig tree start to blossom. Israel became a nation. We can't have 100 years to go. I'm not setting any dates, but I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Amen. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We ask you to let it be an encouragement.